This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26 says this. Here's the foundation, and I want you to get this, team. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord is our confidence. Let us pray. God, as I bow my head and my heart in your presence, I pray that you will speak to me and through me. God, in the eons of time, you knew who would be here. So would you anoint us and use us in a special way? I love you and praise you. And I pray all this with a grateful heart, for I pray all this in Jesus' lovely name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about confidence is needed in football and in life. Confidence is needed in football and in life. I had a wonderful experience that happened in 2011. In 2011, I was invited to come to Indianapolis, Indiana, to speak to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I got to be transparent with you. I was looking forward, as I always am, of sharing the gospel. But I had a hidden motive. My favorite player played for the Indianapolis Colts. His name was Peyton Manning. And I said, this is going to be so great to be able to go to Indianapolis and preach to all those Colts and be able to preach to Peyton Manning. I can't wait to get there to get to do that. I got there, and it was not good timing because it was the year that Peyton Manning had injured his neck, and he was out for the entire year. And I met with the coach, Coach Jim Caldwell, and I said, Coach Caldwell, how's things going? How's things going? He said, it's not going good. He said, you know, Benny, our best player, Peyton Manning, got hurt. And he said, we played our very first game, and we lost the game badly. And he said, after we lost that game, our players felt like they couldn't win. We actually finished the season 2-14. They did. He said, preacher, it's bad when success goes to your head, but he said, it's worse when failure goes to your head. And he said, failure went to the heads of my players. This is what I know. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. Because life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Confidence really does matter. And confidence, ladies and gentlemen, will affect every season of your life. Confidence will affect every season of your life. A little girl was drawing one day. Her name was Sally, and the Sunday school teacher said, Sally, what are you doing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. The teacher said, oh, Sally, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will when I finish. That's confidence, amen? You know, if you're a baseball fan, perhaps maybe the greatest player to ever play baseball was from Georgia. His name was Ty Cobb. He was called the Georgia Peach. Ty Cobb actually has the highest batting average. His batting average was 366. That was his average for all the years that he played. Actually, three times he hit over 400. And if you're not a baseball fan, to hit over 400 three times is extremely, extremely good. Ty Cobb retired. He became somewhat of an old man. He retired and he was being interviewed, and they said to the Georgia Peach, if you played today with all the advancements, with all the great pitchers and all the advancements that's been made in baseball, if you played today, what do you think your batting average would be? He said, I think about 300. The reporter said, do you really believe that you would bat 300? He said, yes. Of course, he said, you got to keep in mind, I'd be 73 years old. That's confidence. Amen? The 91-year-old gentleman marries the 26-year-old woman. He's 91. She's 26. Starts looking for a house in a good school district. He's 91. She's 26. His son hears about it and he's irate. He said, "Dad, this is ridiculous." You got to keep in mind the son was 70. He's 91, she's 26. He said, "Dad, this is ridiculous. It's the height of stupidity. Dad, this could even be fatal." He said, "Son, if she dies, she dies." Amen? That's confidence. Now get this. Why should we desire confidence? Why should we desire confidence? Because it matters in life and in baseball. Let me give you three reasons why, or a few reasons why we ought to desire confidence. Number one, it's biblical. It's biblical. Joel 3:10 says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, confidence is biblical. David literally ran to fight Goliath. He ran toward the giant. Why could he run toward the giant? He was confident. Caleb was 85 years old. He said, "There's some giants over there, but we can take them. There's some giants over there, but we can take them." That's confidence. Elijah was going to pray for rain. Read the scripture. And before he ever prayed the prayer, he said, "I hear the sound of an abundance of rain." That's confidence. Amen? That's confidence. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28, there's a lady who had been sick for 12 years, chronically sick, ill, peel, and beel, 12 years. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That's confidence. Let me tell you why you ought to have confidence. Because it is biblical. Let me tell you something else about confidence. It gives stability to your life. It gives stability to your life. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You see, that's confidence, Pastor Benny. But look at the foundation of his confidence. If you look at verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content." What is contentment? Here's what contentment is. It's being satisfied and at rest where God has you despite what's happening around you. It's being satisfied and at rest where God has you despite what's happening around you. Now he gets to verse 12 and look what he says. "I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound." He said, "Wait, I know how to be very low, and I know how to be on top. Everywhere in all things," he said, "I know how to be full. I know how to have plenty, but also I know something about being hungry. I know how to abound, and I know how to suffer need." Here's what he was saying. I've had good times. I've had hard times. I've been on the top, I've been on the bottom. I've been hero and I've been zero. It's been a good doctor's report, it's been a bad doctor's report. It's been a good marriage, maybe it's been a bad marriage. I won or I lost. But he said, this is what I've realized. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'll tell you what confidence does. It gives stability to your life. I'll tell you the third thing that confidence does. Confidence helps you to do what God wants you to do. Confidence helps you to do what God wants you to do. See, a lack of confidence will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. A lack of confidence will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Ecclesiastes 11 and 4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I am convinced many times God wants people to do things, but people don't have the confidence to believe they can do it. And when you don't have confidence, ladies and gentlemen, it will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You say, I don't see any way I could do it. Friend, let me tell you something. That's where faith comes in. That's where, see, you say, you really believe this, Pastor? I really believe it. Because when the Bible talks about talents were given out, one man gets five talents, one man gets two, one man gets one. Get this. And a lack of confidence kept one man from using his talent. Look what he did. Matthew 25 and 25. If you don't think confidence matters, I was afraid. I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the earth. What happened? A lack of confidence kept the man from doing, get this, what God wanted him to do. Let me tell you the fourth thing why confidence really matters. It helps in your relationships, because insecurity hurts relationships. Understand something. We don't see others as they are. We see others as we are. And insecurity hurts relationships. See, you got to understand something. Without confidence in God, we become cocky. Without confidence in ourselves, we become defeated. And without confidence of others, without confidence in others, we become suspicious and untrusting. When we don't have confidence, it hurts our relationships with other people, because many times our fear of rejection prevents connection. And God wants to connect us in relationships. God wants to bring people into our lives. God wants to orchestrate things, but our lack of confidence prevents us from connecting with others. So your fear of rejection keeps you from connection. Confidence helps in your relationships. Let me tell you the fifth thing that confidence does. It breeds confidence in others. I've never known an unconfident person to breed confidence in other people. Do you know how many giant killers were in Saul's army? Zero. I'll explain to you why. This is deep. Saul never killed a giant. You know how many giant killers were in David's army? Four. Why? Because David killed giants. See, confidence breeds confidence. I'm so excited about May of next year, because May of next year, I get a financial increase. You say, Pastor Benny, is the church? No. It's got nothing. It's got nothing to do with the church. Savannah graduates. Yes. Savannah graduates, and May of next year, she will be Dr. Savannah Tate. Now, look, she as you know, Savannah's adopted, so it's not from my loins or her mother's. It would have been from her mother's anyway. It wouldn't have been from mine if it was. But I want you to understand something. I'm not surprised. You say, well, what do you mean you're not surprised? Because here's why. Her entire life, she was told, you're the most brilliant child that God's ever created. You're the most beautiful child that God's ever created. Her entire life, I was told, I love you more than tongue can tell, Savannah Abigail. I love you more than tongue can tell, Savannah Abigail. You're the most brilliant child on earth. I raised her to believe that she could conquer Moby Dick. I raised her to believe, if you're going after Moby Dick, honey, get in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce. You can handle it. Because here's what I know, ladies and gentlemen. Confidence breeds confidence. And whether you say you can or you can't, you're correct. Napoleon said it best. Leaders are dealers in hope. He said, Pastor, this is so true. I'm sorry for getting excited. But Pastor, talk to me a little bit. How can I build confidence in my life? This message is for me. It's about 18 to 12. I just want to tell you in case you're on medication. Give me just a few minutes, and I'm going to talk to you about how you can breed confidence and build confidence into your life. Look here, this is the most important. This is the most important. Look here, folks. Unless you get this right, you listen to your pastor, unless you get this right, your self-esteem will be too high or too low. Unless you get what I'm saying right here right, your self-esteem is going to be too high or too low. Number one, establish your worth in God. Establish your worth in God. Look what Genesis 1 and 26 says. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, wait. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Jesus. He was talking to the Holy Spirit. Because he's a triune God. One person, one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when he said, you said, well, Pastor Benny, where did God come from? In the beginning, God. No, we don't believe once there was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then it was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then it was a monkey in a banana tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. We don't believe that, folks. We believe we were wonderfully and gloriously created by God, amen? That's what we believe. And God said, look down there. Let us make man in our image. A triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, that you are a triune individual. You're a body, soul, and spirit. Why? Why am I a triune individual? Because you were made in the image of God, and God's a triune God. Let us make man in our image. And then we jump down to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. Male and female, he created them. The There's no such thing, hear me closely, there's no such thing as transgender. No such thing. Because to say I'm transgender is to say that a perfect, sovereign, omnipotent, guileless God made a mistake, and God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. You said, Pastor Benny, I wish you... No. You'll one day say, thank God I had a pastor. Thank God that I had a pastor. My pastor preached against this. My pastor said it was wrong. My pastor told us it was wrong for an 18-year-old boy to want to participate in girls' sports. My pastor told me that was wrong. He told me male and female, God created them. My pastor told me it was wrong for an 18-year-old boy who says, I've got feminine feelings today, so I want to walk into the little girl's restroom. We better get a backbone and stand for something. We better get a backbone and stand for something. Male and female, he created them. You got to get this, a triune God, get this. But God, I'm sorry. God gave his son, wait. His son gave his life. And the Holy Spirit convicts. One God, three persons, different functions. God created them, male and female. Both humans, but different function. Why? The scripture tells us to reproduce the earth. Because it takes a male with a sperm, and it takes a female with an egg. They're different. They have a different function. That's the way God created it, ladies and gentlemen. So we establish our worth by saying, I am a creation of Almighty God. I'm wonderfully and gloriously created by God. No matter what nobody says about me, I'm wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And not only am I created by God, but if I know Jesus Christ, I'm a child of the Most High King. I've been washed in the blood. Save my soul. Save me. Redeem me from hell. I'm sorry, folks, but we got to establish our worth in God. Can I move? Let me move. Look here. Second of all, you've got to realize who lives within you. Every time I go to Israel, I get my group settled in at the Garden Tomb. They don't know it. They're saying, where's Pastor Benny? They don't know where I'm at. I slip down to have some time alone. I slip down to the Garden Tomb, and I walk in by myself, folks. And a lot of times, I'm just recalling what happened to me the first time I went to the tomb. I just went out. It just so impacted me. But I'll go to that Garden Tomb, and I'll think, Jesus, you were in this tomb. And rocks and rooms can't keep you out. Walls and tombs can't keep you in. You came out of this jammy. And you came out of this. And then here's what gets in my mind. The power that brought you out of this tomb. The power that brought you out of this tomb dwells within me. The power that brought you out of this tomb dwells in somebody like me. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what will build your confidence? When you realize greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Let me tell you the third way you build your confidence. As you ignore the unbelief of others. Look here. Come up real close. Nobody can make you feel inferior but you. Nobody can make you feel inferior but you. No. You say, well, but I'm around these people. No, you don't understand. The only person who can make you feel inferior is yourself. What somebody else says about you, your past or anything, is not near as important as what you say about yourself. See, David had nobody. David was the man after God's own heart, but David had nobody who believed in him. His daddy didn't believe in him. His brothers didn't believe in him. Saul didn't believe in him. Nobody believed in David, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What David said to himself was far more powerful than what anybody else said to David. There was a young boy, 18 years of age. He was getting ready to graduate high school, and the guidance counselor pulled him in. The guidance counselor pulled him in this little room, and he told me, he said, there was a little wall there, but it was just a petition. People were sitting outside the wall, and everybody could hear what was being said. He said, the guidance counselor pulled me in and said, now, I need to talk to you. You and I both know you're not college material. You're not academic material. So here's what I want to advise you to do. You get you a trade. You can plumb. You can lay bricks. And you can probably make a living. Maybe even a good living. But you are not college material. And he said, you know what I did? I went to college. And he said, I graduated college. And he said, when I turned 23 years old, in the county that I lived in, the county that my guidance counselor worked in, I ran for school superintendent. And he said, you know what I did? I said, what's that? He said, I won. And he said, one day, I was sitting at a table with all the principals within our county, and he said, Sister Debbie Downer came by, and he said, she looked over at me and her eyes got that big. And he said, no, wait. I just want to talk to you. I just want to thank you because your advice motivated me so much. Your advice motivated me so much. So I just want to thank you. I told this story. I've told it in all of our services today. In the first service, he was seated right over there. His name is Bill Jones. He's done pretty well. Amen. Here's what I would say to you. Ignore the unbelief of others. I got to move fast. Number four, keep a victory list. Where do you come up with these concepts? The Bible. 1 Samuel 17 and 37, David went against the giant, but remember before he went against the giant, he said, the Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. He'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. Listen, you keep a victory list of what God's done in your life. You keep a journal. You keep some stones of remembrance. Amen? You keep a victory list, and you look back over God's faithfulness over your life. Number five. You do good for others. You do good for others. Pastor, I don't have a clue about how to live the Christian life. I'm going to help you. It's in one verse, Ecclesiastes 3:12. Look what it says. Rejoice and do good. Rejoice and do good. You see, Pastor Benny, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just told you, rejoice and do good. You said, but I'm a young person. I just told you, rejoice and do good. Yesterday, I had a lot of visits to make and preach a funeral and hospitals and various things. And I said, Barbara, I need you to make me some banana bread. And Barbara makes banana bread, and you take a piece of that banana bread, you put it on top of my head, my tongue beat my brains out. I said, Barbara, I need you to make me that banana bread. And she made me 6 loaves of banana bread. So what I would do, I'd visit with people, and I'd say, I went to one home where the gentleman is in hospice right now, and I prayed with him and gave him and his wife a loaf of banana bread. Now get this. I was coming home after the day, and all the bread was gone. It was gone. But you know what? I thought today, I've just walked around and ministered, and this is what I realized. I feel pretty good. Look here, this seems elementary. But you want to build confidence in your life? You say, boy, I do, Pastor. Quit looking in the mirror and start looking in the window. And look here, when you start doing for others, you'll start feeling better about yourself. I'm not deep, but I'm not stuck. He didn't say feed the giraffes. He said feed the sheep. Amen. I'm just feeding the sheep today. I'm not deep, but I'm not stuck. And if you'll take the principles that the Word of God, if you'll just rejoice and do good, God will bless your life. Get your eyes off yourself. Quit crying. Quit having your pity party. Nobody's coming to your party. Nobody's bringing a gift. Start doing for other people. And you'll feel better about yourself. I don't know who that was for, but it felt awful good. Let me give you the last point and I'm done. Realize you're gifted. Realize you're gifted. Now get this. Notice I said you. We have a propensity to think it's always somebody else. No. You're gifted. You're gifted. You're gifted. Why do you say that, Pastor Benny? 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, you're gifted. Now, I want to give you a deep word. Here's a deep word. Quit worrying about being somebody else. You're gifted. You said, but what about, no, we're not dealing. You're gifted. See, you might as well be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Isn't that a good thought? You might as well be yourself. Look, I'd like to preach like Charles Stanley, but he's taken. I'd like to preach like David Jeremiah, but he's taken. I have to accept that God created me to be a holy roller at a camp meeting. Amen? That's just who. But everything I do with passion. I mean, literally, if I'm home talking to Barbara, we're passionate. Everything's with passion. Here's the story. Barbara, I can hear you, Benny. But I want to look at you. You don't have to look at me. Just tell me, Benny. You're gifted. Why am I gifted? Here's why you're gifted. You're gifted for your edification. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says that God gives spiritual gifts to edify the church. Get this, folks. That's why somebody said, does Pastor believe we ought to be in church? God help us. God's gifted people to edify you. Certainly we need to be in church. And think about this, folks. It's silly for me to be jealous of somebody else's gift because God gave that person that gift to edify me. Why would I be jealous or envious of their gift? God gave that gift so I could be edified from their gift. Just realize you're gifted. You're gifted for your edification and for God's glorification. Look here. According to 1 Peter 4:11, here's the bottom line. The foundation of your confidence has got to be God. The foundation of your confidence has got to be God. I heard about a church that was the area, it was very dry. There had been no rain. It was a drought. It was so dry, some guy went fishing, caught a fish, and had two ticks on it. It was so dry. So the pastor said this. He said, we're all going to meet at the church on this night, and we're praying for rain. We're going to pray. He said, I want everybody to come, and we're going to meet on this night. And he said, what we're going to do, we're going to meet, and we're going to pray for rain. Just stretching my arm. And they met and they prayed for rain. And as they finished the prayer meeting, there was a little girl sitting right there. And she did something. She had an umbrella. She was doing this. And the pastor said, young lady, it bothers me that you would bring an umbrella and open it up. Young lady, that bothers me. What's your response to that? She said, Pastor, it bothers me that 1,000 people would meet and pray for rain, and I would be the only one who would bring an umbrella. You get this. I don't know what's going to happen, but we need to keep our umbrella. We need to keep our umbrella. No matter what you're going through, you need to keep your umbrella, because keeping your umbrella says, my confidence is in God. My confidence is in God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus who loved me. My confidence is in God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's in football or whether it's in life, confidence really does matter. Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.